Ahead of a Southwest Border Task Force meeting with U.S. officials, we're having breakfast at the Hyatt downtown with the very first border czar, Alan Bernstein. He's been reappointed by Janet Napolitano to the post. He's a former federal prosecutor from California and a school district superintendent near San Diego. You had mostly a figurative role as the first border czar, as Operation Gatekeeper, and advocated for increased binational cooperation. Is that right?
That's correct. In 1995, at the time when the border's problems largely revolved around illegal immigration, as contrasted with today, where the focus is on drug trafficking now, although illegal immigration remains a big issue. The Attorney General asked me as a federal prosecutor to coordinate law enforcement from South Texas to Southern California. And that was the essence of the role then. Today, Secretary Napolitano has largely created this role of special representative for border affairs to provide coordination for the initiatives that she's begun with regard to the problems of border violence.
And so today's you're going to be talking primarily about three different areas: security, counter-narco, and immigration. Is that right?
That's correct. And also how to balance the needs of a robust trade between Mexico and the United States amidst all of the security concerns on illegal immigration and drug trafficking.
Recently, our sheriff deputies found a body of 53-year-old Danny Baca on the West Mesa. He had been shot 20 times, apparently because he didn't deliver a load of marijuana to El Paso, instead brought it all the way up to Albuquerque. Our sheriff is pretty outspoken. Darren White has said that I-25 is connected to evil. Are border agents being able to check enough incoming and outgoing cars?
The difference that Secretary Napolitano has made is to balance our continued great interest in stopping drugs coming north and enforcing the immigration laws, to also recognize that southbound traffic, particularly arms going into Mexico and bulk cash, are legitimate concerns of American law enforcement. That recognizes the historic change that's taken place, in which the United States and Mexico, instead of fixing blame and pointing fingers at one another, are actually trying to cooperate to fix the problem.
President Barack Obama did tell Mexican President Felipe Calderon that he would work and pledge to start to curb that outbound cash and arms.
Absolutely. This is an acknowledgement by the presidents of both countries that we share the problem, that each has bears responsibility, therefore, for trying to resolve it. One of the matters that Secretary Napolitano and President Obama have stressed is that the violence in Mexico, to some significant degree, is being fueled by weapons that are illegally smuggled into Mexico and causing great harm to neighbors, but also causing harm to us in the sense of perpetuating the criminal mafias that exist there.
You call it a problem. I guess I would call it a crisis. Already 671 murders in Mexico. The Mexican president has pledged to keep military and the Mexican army in Juarez and the state of Chihuahua until 3,000 police officers can be up and trained. We've talked briefly that the U.S. has no jurisdiction. What needs to be done to curb the murder rate there?
The need to place the military in northern Mexico has done a great deal to calm the situation in the sense of reducing the level of violence. Not eliminate it, but reduce it. And remember, in terms of the number of police officers required, El Paso has 700,000 residents, and Ciudad Juarez has 2.5 times that number. So this is an issue of not that there's anything intrinsically violent about the Mexican people, but rather they're going through a period in their history in which, for the first time, President Calderon has challenged the drug cartels, and this country is recognizing how important that is to our own national security, is firmly at his side, and is committed to a partnership that will do that. And we should also know and note that building up a reliable law enforcement and building up a reliable judiciary, which the Mexican government is now committed to doing, is the work of a generation. We'll see progress along the way. But it takes an enormous amount of courage not only to take on the mafia, but for a president to admit that his law enforcement is largely corrupt and that his judiciary is non-existent in terms of honest adjudication, and to say, we're going to change that. So Merida is the commitment of this nation to stand at at our neighbor's side in the time of a crisis.
One of the ways that's going to happen is the Obama administration has budgeted $269 million, I guess, from federal stimulus monies to build up the border patrols on the southern border. I guess they want to add lanes and pullover spaces.
The strategy of the administration, led in this respect by Secretary Napolitano, is to use the best infrastructure we can construct, to use the deployment of our Border Patrol agents and field officers, and to use technology as a very important element in this strategy to produce safe, secure, and functional borders.
What kind of technology is needed moving forward?
We've begun to institute the kind of use of radar and a camera surveillance that feeds back very rapidly to a deployment system. And in a place like New Mexico, where we have large areas of open space, we can deploy our patrol agents with the aid of detection that comes largely technologically.
Al-Qaeda is threatening an video to bring bioweapons into the country through tunnels from Mexico into the U.S. and have used it as a recruiting tape, saying that, you know, just 3.5 or 4 pounds of anthrax could take out 300,000 to 400,000 peoples. Have you seen that video?
I have not, but we certainly understand in the Department of Homeland Security the first obligation and a new obligation in the wake of 9/11 is to stop terrorists from infiltrating our country and to do everything we can to prevent the kind of catastrophe that is threat.
When you first started Operation Gatekeeper, that was well before September 11th and those tragic terrorist attacks. Did we learn anything from September 11th?
Absolutely. We have a knowledge and an understanding in our country that was non-existent, that we are not separate and apart from the rest of the world. For most of American history, we were blessed by being surrounded on both sides by oceans that kept us both from Asia and from Europe. In today's world, that is a much less relevant fact, and Homeland Security is the commitment of this nation to defend itself in a very different world.
Bioterrorists might be able to, if they didn't use the tunnels, come in as immigrants, maybe legally, maybe illegally. People that have spoke out about illegal immigration are often called racist. Is wanting to keep the border secure by curbing the flow of illegal immigrants racist?
Absolutely not. The nation has a right to defend and to regulate its borders. So comparing that to racist response to the protection of our borders strikes me as completely misplaced and out of order.
We're also joined today by the former CIA director and former FBI director, the only man to serve in the administrations of several presidents as both an FBI director and a CIA director, William Webster. Welcome to Albuquerque.
Thanks very much.
You're here as chairman of the Southwest Border Control Task Force that's going to be meeting in New Mexico. What is the mission of that task force?
Well, the mission is pretty much as Secretary Burson has described it. We'll take our charge from Secretary Napolitano as what she wants in particular areas. We provide advice. We're not operational. We bring a wealth of experience from people from all walks of life who could be useful in trying to understand what it is. Our mission so far is just as has been described. It's first of all, first priority is counterterrorism. Second priority is border security, primarily aimed at drug trafficking. And the third is regulation of immigration in a way that does not unfairly impede commerce between the two countries.
You bring a huge perspective to this problem, having served in those roles at the White House. What needs to be done today, and how long do you think it will take to curb some of these problems?
Well, I don't claim any particular personal expertise. We've marshaled a whole group of people who will be helpful in that way. But I think the concerns, you can see things that are not anticipated. The swine flu thing it creates a major problem. FEMA will be looking at that and working on it. That's part of Homeland Security. The murders that are taking place inside Mexico are serious. Back in the years when I was working on drug issues, Mexico was primarily a transit country. Colombia supplied the owners of the narcotics as they came through there. Now Mexican mafia types have taken over the business of moving drugs into the United States. So that's, and they're killing each other in the process. U.S. So that's part of the problem. On top of that, the same facilities, the same opportunities to cross borders illegally raises the question of how to protect our borders appropriately. And there's a huge debate been going on about the effectiveness of fences 2,000 miles versus virtual fences, which are very interesting because they bring technology to bear in an otherwise very difficult assignment, and it's still a difficult assignment.
Mr. Webster, you talked about drug cartels and the mafia in Mexico. I guess part of the problem is that Americans consume a lot of drugs. In New Mexico, I did a story this morning on the second anniversary of the state's medical marijuana law. And of course, you know, patients say that it helps relieve ailments that they have and symptoms for ailments that they have. Is it time to end America's war on drugs? And with decriminalizing drugs, like our former Governor Gary Johnson advocated for, would that solve any of this?
Hey, you're talking to the wrong person. I don't think so. I absolutely do not think so. Things that addict our citizens are going to create all kinds of other problems for ordinary citizens. It's not an answer. It is, I think, legitimate to look from time to time to see on what kinds of drugs and what they do. If there may be some that we should be spending less time on and create less problem and harm. But basically, it's bad business. And we're at fault in the sense that we provide the market, and we've got to address that, get the demand down.
Because that's really the root of all these problems.
Well, absolutely, and we can't pretend it's somebody else's fault, but they are bombarding us with this, and we need to protect the rest of American citizens who are not engaged in drug use.
Will you be in Albuquerque for the visit by Homeland Security Secretary Jenna Napolitano, who's a Sandia High graduate here from Albuquerque, along with the U.S. Attorney Eric Holder?
Yes, I will.
Can you give us a preview to their counter-narcotic strategy for this year?
Well, I probably ought to let them speak for themselves on that. I'll be chairing the meeting, but they'll be telling us what their strategy will be for it. But it's pretty much as Secretary Burson has outlined to you, and then providing the adequate funds and using the balancing the priorities here. We've got several tough assignments to do. At the same time, it's important not to destroy the commercial relationships between the two countries because they're vital to both countries.
How will rolling out a counter-narcotics strategy benefit the border guards and the people that are, you know, trying to put this situation to bed?
Well, I think she's going to evidence her support for the people that are doing this really difficult and demanding and sometimes dirty assignments and risky assignments, and that she's going to be reassuring us that funds will be made available as needed, and that the people that are doing this work are going to be given the kind of support. We've had to double up. You mentioned earlier that they've had to double up on the number of people at the border doing various assignments all the way from protection to immigration enforcement and so on. And I think she'll be telling us a little bit more about how she hopes to get that kind of support from the president.
Great. Let's go back to Border Czar Alan Burson. Originally, when the Bush administration wanted to deploy the National Guards from states to the border, our governor, you know, was hesitant, and now he's a firm supporter of that. Will there be funding available to keep them along the border for the long term?
There have been appropriations made by the Congress for that purpose, and there's been for many, many years a counter-drug presence and role for the National Guard. Whether or not the Guard is to be deployed this time around is the subject of consideration between Secretary Napolitano and Secretary Gates. They have not yet made a recommendation to the President regarding that, and it's a balancing of forces and an assessment of the threat that exists, and that consideration is ongoing, and I'm sure will continue to be made as circumstances change here along the border.
You were just reappointed to be the Border Czar in April. What were some of the first challenges that you saw when you came back to the office after having been away from it for a while?
There have been significant changes in the border, although the long-term problems of illegal immigration and illegal drug trafficking are still major challenges. But we have a completely different border from the one that we had 10 years ago. We have a border that's well-resourced. We have a border in which the chain of command among the various agencies has been clarified and in many cases united under the Department of Homeland Security. And perhaps most significant of all, we have a different relationship with Mexico and a different way in which the problems of the border are viewed, so that it is not so much anymore a question of finger-pointing and blaming, but rather cooperative decision-making and collaborative problem-solving.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but make a prediction of what you would like to see have been accomplished during your current tenure as the borders are?
The problems of illegal immigration and the problems of drug trafficking managed to much better effect and with better results for people on both sides of the border. Border communities deserve and need a safe and secure environment, one in which commerce and trade and the family relationships that exist here on the border can flourish. And we need to see the border as a friendly presence rather than an ominous one. And those of us who live on the border understand that and understand what a great asset the border can be in terms of enriching life between the United States and Mexico and the communities that live on its two sides.
New Mexico has been allowing illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. So I remember it, September 11th, the terrorists had Florida driver's licenses. Do you think that's a threat to America's security?
In the federal system, it's necessary that the federal and state governments have an understanding of the policies followed by each. And indeed, one of the major purposes of Judge Webster's committee is to provide advice to the Department of Homeland Security and the Secretary about how federalism and the different points of view of the different levels of government, from local through county through regional, state, and federal, can best interact to produce the best result. Our founding fathers and mothers long ago understood in terms of the federal system that different points of view, even if they are contrary to one another, often produce a better result than marching in one direction without reservation. So, no, I wouldn't second guess the legislature and the governor and the people of New Mexico, but we have to understand the position as the state needs to understand the federal presence on the border here.
And they just arrest a group that was providing fraudulent documents to allow these people to get driver's licenses. That could pose a threat.
No question. Document fraud has long been a plague in terms of the proper regulation of the border and the immigrant matters of immigration. But again, this is always a question of dealing with the wrongdoing and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This is about a balanced approach to a long-standing problem and one that recognizes that we have to manage it more successfully than we have in the past.
I know that both of you gentlemen have a very busy day today. So is there anything that I may have missed that's important to this conversation today?
Just the importance of Secretary Napolitano coming here with the advisory committee to provide a public airing of the issues that we face and to listen to the advice of a very seasoned, experienced, talented group of individuals whose point of view count.
And what about you, Mr. Webster?
I think he covered it very well indeed. And tomorrow the meeting will be where the Homeland Security Advisory Council is a FACA organization. That means it's under a federal law. We have to be transparent. We have to have open meetings. The public will be there. You're invited. She'll be there responsive to what's going on, and there'll be other officials who will be talking about what we're going to do. And I think the public is entitled to know what we're doing. Some things, of course, are highly classified and have to be done to be effective in terms of law enforcement and intelligence. But this is a good way, and she has thrown herself into this in an admirable way, I think, and we want to help her in every way that we can and to help the Secretary here as well.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
And you as well.
Thank you, Peter.